Right now, we've got Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library joining us for another round of Talking Books. How are you?
I'm sorry, I was jotting down the information about FilmFest 919 because that sounds really cool.
You can get all the information at filmfest919.com.
I prefer to be old school and jot down notes and then lose them and then be like, oh, I wrote on a piece of paper.
I did my part. Why am I not at this film festival?
That sounds really cool, though.
It is really cool. Yeah. It's going to be super cool next year when, like, the festival happens, and apparently it's going to be a really big thing.
And are they all local? Like,
there's going to be a lot of, like, feature movies. I think some local. They're still in the planning stages, but yeah, it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
And the Florida project is apparently really good. It's about a Willem Dafoe is Willem Dafoe in the cast, but he's like the big kind of headline big actor name. But it's about a family of, or maybe a couple families. They live in kind of a rundown, shabby area of Orlando, like basically right across the street from Disney World. So they're living in the shadow of Disney World,
and it's these Cinderella's palace and everything.
Well, it's these three little kids. And like the idea is, oh man, we're living at Disney World. It's great, but it's kind of a rundown, apartment building where they live. And Willem Dafoe is the super with a heart of gold. I think I'm not sure on all of the details because I haven't seen the movie, but it's going to be tonight. It's going to be really cool.
That's great.
Yeah. Apparently, Willem Dafoe is great at it and everything. Yeah.
I'm not sure that I should do this, but I'm going to go ahead and do a true confession. On the air. For your mom and all of our listeners to hear.
All right.
Okay?
Yes, go
so
for it.
So, Silver Spot.
Uh-huh.
When, however many years ago, when word first went out that Dillard's was closing, and then it was empty for a while, and what was going to come in there was this fancy-schmancy, hoity-toity, high-end movie theater.
Flibbity-flobbity.
I was like, I don't think so. I was like, you can take your fancy movie theater.
I
was like, hear me now and listen to
me
later.
Yep.
I will never go to that theater.
Oh, no, I didn't say that. I said I would go there once.
I was even more outraged. I'll never go there. First of all, who was there opening weekend? Me.
Yes.
Who was there probably 2 weekends out of any given month, always booking early to get that front row with the ottomans.
Do you remember way back in the day when the front row was like the worst place to sit?
It's the best. I mean, it's still terrible, Aaron, right? Nobody else out there should be trying to sit in the front row.
Yes, totally, Susan. No one should sit in your seat in the
and
front
the
row.
And the other true confession is that often we go for family movies, which is just a delightful, especially in the summer, air-conditioned nap for
that
the parents.
That is true.
So that's when the front row is key. But I love, now I still support Timberline and the Chelsea, all of
Chelsea's
those.
Chelsea's great. Varsity downtown
Varsity,
is
I love
great.
The Varsity. Yeah. But Silver Spot
Am
is
I allowed
one.
To shout out for South Point? Because that's technically the closest
sure.
theater to me. So
and
we
then
go there
there's
sometimes.
The Lumina.
Yeah.
I mean, we have
Lumina's,
so many.
Oh, God, yeah, Lumina's
but
great.
But Silver Spot filled this niche, this gap.
Yep.
And I think about that often. And, of course, various people that heard me say that. Whenever they hear me say that I'm going to Silver Spot, they're all like, remember when you said, hear me now and listen to me later? I will never darken their door.
Did you actually say the phrase, hear me now and listen to me later? Because I really want that to have been true. Good.
Oh, I say that often.
Nice.
That's the key Susan Brown phase.
This is what happens whenever you're, and like, I have this problem all the time because I speak into a live microphone 4 hours a day. I don't like to say things until I am 100% sure that they are true, which is why I so rarely write anything. But I have to come on and speak into a live microphone 4 hours a day. So I say things, and then people will later be like, I remember when you said that, you said it wasn't going to rain. And then it snowed 4 inches. And I said, well, I said it wasn't going to rain.
So you're lying to us?
No.
Okay.
But sometimes the weather does not turn out the way that
weather.
You predict it is.
Yes.
And then people come back and say, you said it wasn't going to snow for the rest of the week, and now the schools have been closed for 3 days.
Right.
And I say, I'm as surprised as you are.
There you go.
It's sunny outside. Are we going to talk books?
So I'm sorry, I just have to go there. I
We've
probably
been talking
should
movies this whole time.
Again. When you were talking about that, what was the conversation I was having with myself in my head? Because that's the thing, right?
Of course,
I'm listening to you,
right?
And I'm thinking about what I'm going to say, but I'm also talking to myself.
I'm watching
in my
traffic
head.
While I'm having conversations in my head in the car, so I get that.
What I was thinking of when you were saying that, what was going through my head was my favorite line from Elf, the movie, which is when he sees Santa, who's not Santa, and he says, "You smell like beef and cheese," which you don't, but then he says, "You sit on a throne of lies."
Yes.
So that's what I was thinking of when you were saying that.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Okay, so now we should talk about books.
I just saw that movie for the first time like a couple of months ago.
What?
Like, it wasn't even Christmas time. I'm like, I gotta see Elf.
You'd never seen it. What did you think?
I thought it was good.
Not so much? You're
making
a face.
It was
okay.
Good. It was fun. I mean, it's no Christmas Story, but, you know, it's
up there.
Well,
there's that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty great movie, though.
It's pretty good, yeah.
I forget the four food groups, but my kids know them, like maple syrup, cotton candy, candy corn, and something
and
else.
Candy
awesome.
Or something like that. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Okay.
Go for it.
Books.
So we're talking about
But wait. Oh. We're not going to talk about books yet.
Oh, we're not?
Remember, I said that I wanted to talk about rando library things?
Rando library things. Okay, good.
So now for the rando library things segment of Afternoons with Aaron, or of Talking Books with Susan Brown. Anyways, shameless self-promotion of the library. Okay, a couple things that are happening that are really cool. Save the date. I don't know if we talked about this before. Maybe we did like a breaking news thing.
Uh-huh.
We're super excited. People will start seeing flyers about this all around town and on social media. We are bringing Nancy Pearl to Chapel Hill. Yes!
That's going to be
awesome.
On
November 16th. So save the date if you are a librarian, a writer, a reader, a book lover, an NPR listener. Nancy Pearl is like the world's most famous librarian. Mm. So she commentates. Is that a word? She's a commentator. She talks about books on
she
NPR.
Comments, yes.
She is the person who came up with what is now a very, very popular worldwide phenomenon of getting everybody in the same town to read the same book.
Oh.
So like 15 years ago, she was a librarian in Seattle, and she had this brilliant idea of, what if we had everybody in Seattle read the same book and then get together and talk about it?
That's cool.
Right?
What did they read the first time? Do you know?
Oh, gosh. I used to know, and I don't now. It was not David Guterson, but it was, okay. I can find out.
Because Durham just did the Constitution, which is a
really interesting choice.
Yeah.
She's also the inspiration for the librarian action figure, which is pretty great. And we just learned by the end of this month, I think actually next week, there's a new edition of the Nancy Pearl action figure coming out. It's like
nice.
This cult collectible thing.
Oh, I have no doubt.
And she's just a really well-known person who is great talking about books. And she's got a whole series of books called Book Lust, which are full of recommendations. So we are fortunate enough. She's only making two stops in the Triangle. Mm. One for us on that Thursday night. We're going to close that day. So save the date also. November 16th, we will be closed to the public for a staff day.
Yes.
So we are fortunate to have Nancy come and work with our staff and train our staff. Like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to have one of the most famous people come and work with your staff on serving readers. And then we will reopen just for this evening program. So the program will be at 7. All of this is sponsored by our fabulous friends group.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy Pearl is going to, so she's just recently turned from reader to writer.
Yeah, she wrote a novel, right?
Yeah. Called George and Lizzie. So Thursday night, she's going to do a public program talking about George and Lizzie, talking about the reading life, talking about moving from reader to writer. We think it's going to be a very full house and an awesome night.
That's awesome.
Save the date, November 16th, library closed during the day, opening up for a once-in-a-lifetime chance to see this amazing person come and speak.
And that's on a Thursday, right?
A Thursday.
Yep. Very cool.
The other thing that I want to give a shout-out to is this Saturday, the library will be open as usual. However, the circulator will be at the Trunk or Treat, the Halloween celebration happening at the community center. So Parks and Rec is doing this awesome. It's like a family, younger kids. There's Trunk or Treat, which I will tell you, Meg McGurk says she's going to win it. She is in it to win it.
I have no doubt.
It's like a family
competition.
She's like, oh, no.
I'm in it to win.
I'm in it. Yeah. Like, they've been working on it hardcore.
I'm doing it. Yeah.
So there's Trunk or Treat. There's a movie. The circulator is going to be there. There's games. So we're super psyched to be a part of that. It's going to be a really fun event. And then the other thing, this is totally rando, but it's really cool.
Totally rando would be like a good rock album, horror novel.
Oh yeah, totally rando. It's like a pop, like a power pop group.
Oh, or like a, or totally rando would be like a good, like not like a book for tweens about a guy named about like a kid named Randy or everyone
totally
called him Rando.
It's a series.
Totally rando, the series.
Or
yeah.
A, like. Nick series, like a you know, a half hour, those awful tween sitcoms. Totally rando.
Some of those were surprisingly good. You had to,
oh, yeah.
Like, you got to sit
through.
No,
they weren't. No.
So. Bad charm.
What was I talking about?
Totally
a totally
random
thing. And this is another way that the library and Parks and Rec are partnering for some really interesting things. Mm-hmm. So we have this, we got this grant this year, $100,000, to extend the library's mission out into Pritchard Park, which is the park that the library sets on.
Right.
There's some nice trails there, but it's really untouched other than that. So we've been working on this. It's going to be a really cool thing. And we've come up with two focus areas. One is citizen science, which is a whole movement of crowdsourcing science and data gathering and all kinds of cool things. And the other is outdoor nature-based play. So we are going to develop some natural play areas in the park.
Okay.
So at the same time, we're thinking about how could we do this. They're taking down this giant tree this week on, I think it's on Franklin or on Rosemary, but it's one of the big old willow oaks that is not in good shape. It's got to come down.
Yep.
So if you see them cutting down this tree this week, what I can tell you is that it will be repurposed as play areas in the park when we do this thing. So they're going to make a big table and cut up some of the limbs for stools make all of these, there's stump jumping things to do. So that's a really cool thing that is highly visible right now, and people might be outraged thinking they're cutting down a tree. Well, the tree's in bad shape, and we're going to reuse it for this really cool thing in the future.
My dad does that, and they live on 5 acres, and 4.5 of the 5 acres are wooded, so whenever they have to take down a tree, which happens frequently, he turns it into the most amazing furniture. So that's going to be really cool.
It's going to be really neat.
Nice.
So there we have it, the end of the Rando
totally
Library
Rando
segment.
Library segment. Awesome. So
okay,
speaking with Susan
books.
Brown, talking books, let's do this day in history. So Wednesday, October 25th, what happened in history on this day, and what books does that inspire for you?
Here I am shaking my paper. Can you hear that out there?
I think you can.
Okay.
I have a hard time telling, because I've got headphones on, but I'm sitting right next to you, so I can hear the paper
hear me?
Shaking.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume we can hear it.
Okay. So
I assume a lot of things when I come in here.
I've only got two so far. I might come up with a third one by the time we finish talking.
Right.
And I wrote all my notes about the movie festival on this piece of paper. No, I'm kidding. Okay, the first one that came to my mind was in 1972, the first female FBI agents graduate from the FBI training course.
This is going to be the first time we recommend the same book. Do you want to say it at the same time? One, two, three.
Silence of the Lambs.
Yep. Wow. There you go.
Oh, there should be confetti falling. Wow.
Yep.
That is something.
That's the first time, I think, in 3 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, the first female FBI
agents. We thought
we
were
going to
do it a couple times.
We
but
came
then,
real close. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
What are we going to say about the book? It's a great book,
right? It is a great book,
so
yeah.
For me, that's a book where I saw the movie I saw the movie first, and it's such a good movie, right?
Yeah.
The movie is so good.
Holds up.
And then I waited a while, and then I read the book, and I was like, holy cow, the book is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well done. So that's definitely one where I can't make the call whether the book or the movie is better.
Yeah.
And I also inspired me to go and read Red Dragon. And then I didn't like the follow-up Hannibal.
But
Silence of the Lambs,
yeah,
such a good book, and
definitely.
Just a great female character.
Yeah, definitely.
What I love about it too is she's a female character who's got depth and background and all of those things. She's a fully formed female character.
Yeah,
so.
Love that.
Okay.
All right. So on this date in 1850. An organization called the Southern Rights. By the way, Scott Washington is our Hillsborough historian. He sends me this list of this week in history, which we'll use to talk tomorrow at 5:30 on History Matters with Scott Washington. I'm using his notes on this, so we're using his notes on this. So thank you to Scott. 1850, on this day in history, an organization called the Southern Rights Association comes into being, its purpose being to abolish slavery. So I'm going to skip past probably the most famous books or novels about slavery at the time. You got Frederick Douglass's autobiography, Uncle Tom's Cabin. Jumping over those, the other great autobiography, in addition to Frederick Douglass, is Harriet Jacobs, Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl. So if you've read those other two, or if you're already familiar with them, but you don't know Harriet Jacobs, read that one, because that one might even be the best of them all.
My turn?
Your turn.
Okay. I only came up with two.
I came up with three, but one of them was Silence of the Lambs, so.
Oh.
We've each got one left.
One left. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. So, let's see. Where is this? I don't think it's on the list that you gave me, but here Where did I find it?
Yeah, Susan was doing some other digging besides, I just cribbed from Scott Washington, but yes. Susan actually did a research on this.
Because I'm a librarian. That's how we roll.
That's how you do, yeah.
So in 1951, in a general election, England's Labour Party loses to Conservatives. Winston Churchill becomes Prime Minister and Anthony Eden becomes Foreign Secretary. Mm-hmm. So I want to recommend an author and one of her books. So the author, the book is, it just came out this year. It's a big fat book too. It's called Hero of the Empire, The Boer War, A Daring Escape, and the Making of Winston Churchill.
Nice.
So it is about Winston Churchill when he was 24. And when he goes to South Africa, and this is all about, he was taken prisoner there. He had this escape. It's a really good read.
Awesome.
And I also want to recommend, and I may have recommended her before, the author is Candace Millard, and all of her books are wonderful. She only has, I think, 3 books currently, and she takes a long time to write and to research, and it's very readable history. Her first one was called River of Doubt, which was about Theodore Roosevelt's journey in Africa. And then my favorite one was Destiny of the Republic, which is subtitled, hang on just a second, A Tale of Madness, Medicine, and the Murder of a President. So it's about James Garfield.
You have recommended that.
It's such
that one.
A
yes.
good book.
Yep.
So I have not finished the Churchill book. It's one that I got and I started reading and then I had to set it to the side. But all 3 of her books are great. And if you want to remember Winston Churchill on this day that he was first voted in,
nice.
I recommend that book.
Awesome. All right, so I've got one more, and I'm going to get super nerdy in preparation for my Nerd Night Talk,
yes!
which is going to be in a couple weeks.
Nicely done.
Thank you. So on this date in 1926, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the president has the authority to remove executive officers from their position. So if the president wants to fire the Secretary of State, he can do that. The initial controversy that led to this decision in 1926 goes all the way back to the 1860s. Immediately after the Civil War ends, Lincoln is assassinated, Andrew Johnson becomes president. Johnson is a Southern Democrat and very pro-Southern in his leanings, even though he's a Unionist. And Congress is dominated by the sort of the radical wing of the Republican Party, very in favor of a really strong Reconstruction policy, punitive towards the people who seceded, better promotion of civil rights and equality for ex-slaves. So there's this big fight between Congress and the president, and the president is trying to fire some of the cabinet secretaries that are on the side of the Republicans and trying to push for the stronger Reconstruction. So Congress passes, over Johnson's veto, a law banning the president from firing cabinet secretaries without getting approval from Congress first. So same as you can't appoint a cabinet secretary without getting approval from Congress, now you can't fire anyone without approval from Congress. Johnson says this is unconstitutional, ignores the law, and fires someone anyway, and that is why Congress impeached Andrew Johnson in the first place, and then he came one vote short of being convicted in the Senate. And then 50 years later, the U.S. Supreme Court, 60 years later, the U.S. Supreme Court rules that no, actually, that law was unconstitutional, and technically Johnson was right in that fight, even if he was wrong about everything else. So that was the impetus for that decision. So with all of that in mind, I want to recommend Eric Foner's book on Reconstruction. It's just called Reconstruction. It's a big, big book. I've recommended it before. It's comprehensive. It's an amazing history by an amazing writer that comprehensively covers the history of this long forgotten and really shouldn't be forgotten period of American history because it's so important and we don't know nearly enough about it. So
and
Eric
he's a
Funders
great writer. He's
terrific.
A very like
yeah.
accessible academic.
Yes.
So,
yeah, that's exactly right. Like, and you've got that line between like the dry academic writers who academics and professors love, but no ordinary person in their right mind would read them. And then you've got the public historians
right.
who don't really have much of a reputation among academics. Eric Foner is both.
Yes.
He's a popular historian. People like reading him and he's very well respected and deservedly so. So that book.
There we go.
That's it. This day in history.
You just went ahead and went there. Other rando library things.
We've got Nerd Night coming up. I still don't know what I'm going to talk about.
You better figure it out,
Susan's
Buster.
Susan's been pressing me on this.
It's going to be November the... It's the third Wednesday. No, it's the second
it's
Wednesday.
The second
November
Wednesday,
the 8th.
November 8th, day after Election Day.
This month it's going to be at Carolina Brewery in their new space upstairs. After Election Day, that's right. It's yourself and Tom Jensen.
Tom Jensen.
And we are waiting to confirm our third speaker, but it's going to be loosely about democracy and government and all that.
Sounds good.
So save the date, November 8th.
Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.